Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing paying less at the pump, fatter paychecks, and flocking to FIRE.
Right, man, this is our Friday flight when we are going to cover some of the different news stories that we came across this week and how it's going to impact our money. It's always important to make sure that the things we talk about, I mean, everything we talk about, we want it to be relevant. But I feel like with the Friday episodes, we get to be at least a little more timely, less evergreen, right? Like
that's
the entire point.
Exactly, yeah. Touch on the stuff that happened this week. And there's a lot of significant happenings right now, Matt, including, obviously, we're going to get to gas prices being top of mind for so many people.
Mm-hmm.
And how you can particularly fight back in your own personal life. We'll get to that in a bit.
You can just buy a Tesla instead of paying more at the pump.
Yes, I'm sure that a lot of people are thinking that right now.
We can also, though, use this time to make not necessarily a correction, but we did want to clarify an answer to this week's Ask How to Money episode on Monday. We totally missed this outlier event that likely caused some of the tax issues that listener Amy, that she's facing. And so basically, Vanguard, they increased their offerings to institutional investors, which is a good thing, right? The more options they have, that's great. But then there's this ripple effect. That change that Vanguard instituted, it created this massive exit last year of those big corporate investors out of traditional target date mutual funds, which in turn wreaked tax havoc for folks who still had those funds and specifically who had them in taxable brokerage accounts. Jason Zweig, he actually wrote about this in the Wall Street Journal, and he put it like this: as big clients left, their sales caused the funds to offload some holdings, triggering capital gains, which could be distributed only to the dwindling group of investors who stuck around.
Ouch.
Some had made the mistake of owning these funds in taxable accounts. And that is, looking back, I think that's exactly what happened to Amy. And so, yeah, basically one of our favorite investing companies, Vanguard, they did a pretty huge disservice to a lot of individual investors. And, you know, it may not have been intentional, but it still left a very select number of individual investors with a big tax burden, which is a pretty big deal.
Yep, and Vanguard has not given good responses, I'll be honest, from their PR team. It's kind of like, yeah, it is what it is. This happens sometimes, and that is no comfort to anyone who has a target date fund, one of these Vanguard target date funds inside of a brokerage account who got hit with a tax bill that was completely unexpected. So Amy, just wanted to let you know, if you're listening to the Friday flight, that this is in all likelihood what happened to you, and I'm really sorry that it did. And Matt, you and I, we're not going to hate on Vanguard altogether for this or cast them out from companies that we recommend.
We still like them a lot.
We still like them a lot. And we also still really like target date funds. But while we like these funds inside of retirement accounts, it does happen that these rare or freak changes could present you with a tax bill. And so, yeah, we would say it's not the best idea to own them in a taxable brokerage account necessarily. It's still better than having your money parked in a checking account earning virtually nothing, while inflation is on a tear, of course, right? The top concern is still to make sure that your money is invested, but the target date fund inside of a taxable brokerage account is not quite as optimized. It's not the most tax efficient route to go. And in extreme outlier events like this, it could actually really bite people in the butt.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this event basically highlighted that fact. Before, like, it's more of a minor thing. It's more about optimization. But this event made it clear that, like, oh wow, no, like there could be some bigger, more serious ramifications. And so that's just something that we want to keep in mind. Joel, let's talk about gas prices. Biden, he banned imports of Russian oil on Tuesday, which is an important move to hurt Putin and Russia's war efforts. And, you know, even though the U.S. is energy independent, like basically we produce all the natural gas and oil that we need right here on our own soil, worldwide oil price increases still affect the price that we pay here at home. Prices at the gas pump, they were already on the rise, and the pain is likely going to continue for a while. It's hard to know how long that's going to be, though. But there might also be some temporary relief on the way. Some governors, including ours here in Georgia, they're looking to suspend the state gas tax for the time being, which it's a great political move, but it also helps for individual budgets as well. In our state, folks could save up to 30 cents a gallon, which is, that's welcome relief for all of those who are still, you know, having to commute to work.
For real.
Also, Georgia State Senator Raphael Warnock, he introduced legislation to eliminate the federal gas tax temporarily as well. And that, you know, has the potential to save drivers nationally about 18 cents a gallon. So it's not clear what the outcome is going to be, but we'll make sure to keep folks posted if any of this actually passes.
Yeah, for sure. And you'd also notice that price drop really quickly, right? If the gas tax suspensions come to fruition, because right now it kind of feels like, Matt, have you ever seen the, I'm sure you've seen the national debt, like when you go to one of those websites, or you see how quickly it scrolls.
The one in New York.
It feels like that's exactly what's happening right now at the gas pump as you drive by. It's like,
continues to climb.
Yeah, I mean, they're climbing. Gas prices are climbing. It feels like it, like 10 cents a day. Like, you look back over there morning, noon, and night, and the price has climbed up. And so you don't even need to read the recent AAA report on gas prices to know that they've gone Looney Tunes in just a matter of a few weeks. And so, yeah, the national average price per gallon as of Thursday morning was $4.31.
As of right now, that's what it is.
I hate to say that, because you're listening to this on Friday morning and it could be $4.44.
Like, so literally, I mean, it has been increasing about 10 cents a day. So literally, I would not be surprised if tomorrow, if it's closer to like 440, 445.
Yeah. So it's shocking. And I feel like just how quickly prices are escalating is just as jarring as the overall price. It kind of makes me wish I had not sold my Nissan Leaf. having an electric car right now is obviously helpful in the face of high gas prices. I don't think that means
the Leaf would be getting all the love.
Oh my gosh.
All right, all the kids, everybody.
We're all packing in. But here's the thing. You know, we've seen videos of cars lined up in crazy lines just to fill up for cheaper gas at Costco. And I get trying to save money on gas. It's helpful to check the Gas Buddy app to find, especially in an environment where prices are rising rapidly, to find, you know, where the cheapest price is near you, or to make, you know, strategic trips in your car so that you're not going out for one-off errands. Combining trips is a good way to save on gas. But it's also important to remember what your time is worth. And so, yeah, burning gas while you're idling in a long line isn't necessarily a recipe for saving money for most folks. It's really easy to get hyper-focused, because what else in our lives do we see the price for constantly advertised as much as gas prices, right?
That is true.
You drive past a dozen gas stations on the way to work, or four gas stations on the way to your friend's house. And so it's kind of this top of mind thing.
You can see from the interstate as you're driving by. They got like the giant towers, you know, with the numbers on there.
Exactly. So, and I get that it obviously has a major impact on everybody's budget. And it's one of those things that you want to pay attention to. And you do want to curb your consumption whenever possible. You do want to ride your bike more, right? You do want to hop in your car less overall. But you also don't necessarily want to wait in a 20-minute line just to save 20 cents a gallon.
Yeah, I do think it's important to keep in mind, like you said, Joel, like how much your time is worth. Because you don't want to spend an inordinate amount of time searching for the lowest gas prices. But I do feel like that's slightly less true given the current state of things, right? Because so literally this morning I checked the Gas Buddy app, and they've got the spread. You know, you can look at gas prices and see what the difference is between the cheapest gas and the most expensive gas.
I bet it's bigger than ever before.
Oh my gosh, it is over a dollar right now. And so that means if you go to the right gas station, you could potentially, I mean, I could save over $20 by going to the right gas station. You just have to weigh that with the other costs, the amount of time it's going to take you. By all means, try to get that affordable gas, but make sure that you go like maybe during like off-peak times in order to avoid those long lines.
Right.
And the other thing too, if you still have to drive, getting a new credit card to pay for gas, that makes even more sense these days, as just the amount that we're spending on gas becomes a bigger line item in our budgets. And so we wanted to share a few of our favorite cards. Specifically, if you are a Costco or Sam's Club member, those credit cards offer some of the best rewards, 4 and 5% respectively, cash back at the pump. Most other cards with solid returns, they come with an annual fee, except for the Citi Custom Cash Card. With this card, you can get a sign-up bonus of $200 plus 5% back on the category that you spend the most in. And so if you're able to use this card only for gas, you're going to be able to get that 5%, you know, back with no annual fee. So we'll make sure to link to some of our favorite gas credit cards in the show notes. Even if you already, like, let's say you have the Blue Cash Preferred card, because maybe you spend a ton at the grocery store. Well, it does have an annual fee of $95. But even that card, you get 3% back at the pump. And there's no cap on that as well. And so we just basically, we want you to be as we are all spending more at the pump, we want to make sure that you are receiving more than just the piddly standard 1.5%. Make sure that you're at least getting 3%, if not 4% or 5%.
That's right. Yeah, make sure just paying with the right card. If you're paying with a card at the pump, yeah, is going to make a difference, and it's going to at least lessen the blow of these high gas prices.
Yeah. Every little bit helps, man.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, again, we'll link to those cards in the show notes so you can check them out. And Matt, I like that hack on the Citi custom cash card, because I think what Citi wants you to do is to do all your spending with that card. You get 1% on everything, but 5% in one category. But if you use it only for one category, only for the gas purchases, it's like,
that's the top category.
Exactly. That's by default the top category, and you get 5% back on it. Let's talk about taxes for a second, because, yeah, I don't know. I'd be curious to know what percentage of How to Money listeners have filed their taxes already at this point. I still have not.
You have not?
I will. Did you?
I just did. Uh-huh.
Congratulations, sir, for adulting.
I haven't paid yet, though.
Okay.
I'm going to wait until the very last. I owe this year, and so I'm actually not happy about that. So I'm going to wait until the very last minute to pay that.
Okay. Well, good luck with that. And
thank you.
And for folks who have not filed their taxes yet, like me, you've just got another month or so to do that. April 18th, of course, is tax day this year. And, you know, we had actually a listener report back. Matt, we asked for reviews of the Cash App tax experience, and our listener gave it a 3 out of 5.
You make it sound like a new ride at the Islands of Adventure or something like that. The tax app experience.
I believe that service overall gets really high ratings, but yeah, our listener only gave it this 3 out of 5. She mentioned, though, that she had some complicating factors for her own personal return, including multiple HSAs. And she mentioned how, you know, it probably would be a much smoother experience for other people with simpler returns, which I think she's probably right.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, just a reminder that if you have a simple return, you know, we still think that going that route with the Cash App tax or to the IRS free file site is a smart way to go. And if your taxes are more complicated, you might want to hire a pro. This is something we think is worth spending money on if your taxes aren't simple. And in fact, on Monday, we'll have a tax pro on the show who does a really good job cutting through the jargon of tax talk. And I think sometimes that's the problem when you bring somebody on to give an explanation about taxes and how to save money on taxes. There are a lot of pointy-headed explanations that are hard to digest. But yeah, Shannon Weinstein is coming on, and I'm looking forward to having her on, because her advice is like so helpful and easy to understand.
That's right. And by the way, if you have already filed your taxes, but you haven't seen your refund come in yet, maybe you're getting a little bit nervous. The IRS, they have this portal set up where you can check the status of your refund. And so we'll make sure to link to that in our show notes. Maybe I'll set up my own portal where it's just like, nope, you ain't getting your money yet, IRS. But we've got more stories we're going to get to right after the break, including one that is going to have an impact on how much money, Joel, that our family is spending at the grocery store. We'll get to that and others right after this.
Oh, I like your tease before the break, Matt. I'm curious to hear about your family and your grocery store budget, because you have always had a notoriously uber frugal budget when it comes to food.
Okay.
So yeah. That's shifting?
Another teaser. It's not as frugal as it used to be.
Okay.
We used to be $1 per person per meal.
I know. That always struck out to people. People have reached out many times, and they're like, how is that physically humanly possible?
Kate, man, she is a genius in the kitchen.
Yeah.
But that is no longer the case, and I'll explain why later on.
All right. Well, we'll get to that in a second. But first, let's get to our ludicrous headline of the week.
Let us.
And this one is a new study from LendingClub, and it was titled, 48% of Americans with annual incomes over $100,000 live paycheck to paycheck. When I read that, I kind of, my internal wow-o-meter went off, and I was like, oh my gosh, you gotta be kidding me. Almost half of folks, as it turns out, with a six-figure income, say that they live paycheck to paycheck now, Matt. And obviously, $100,000 in a place like San Francisco or New York looks very different than bringing home that same salary in, let's say, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, or even in Atlanta, Georgia, where we live.
Yep.
And at the same time, the record-setting inflation numbers are impacting how we all feel about our finances and legitimately how far $100,000 goes. It's changing really quickly. Mm-hmm. But still, I would say it's concerning that this many folks are living on a razor's edge financially who have this sort of income. You know, they're one paycheck away from financial ruin, or at least from relying on their credit card as a crutch to pay for any sort of unexpected expense that might pop up. And so, yeah, we would just say if you fall into this category, it's time to make a plan to slash your monthly expenses and to build up your savings, to start preparing for a rainy day now. And even if it doesn't come, right, even if that rainy day holds off, the peace of mind that you'll have knowing that you're prepared is priceless. And so I think, yeah, it's disheartening to think that somebody with the six figures, that this many people who make this kind of income need that next paycheck in order to pay for rent. And I think that needs to change. I think some of that is education. Some of that is encouragement. But to me, that's a big red flag. That's a huge problem.
Yeah. And regardless of how much you make, right, I think we, like, what we're trying to push back on here is the fact that we are oftentimes just accepting of the fact that, like, oh, everything just costs more. And while that's true, we have a lot more control over our spending and our finances than we think. On the other side of the spectrum, Kiplinger, they actually released a piece about the FIRE movement. And of course, this is the group of folks pursuing financial independence at a rapid pace so that they can retire early. And there's a lot of folks who thought that the pandemic, that it might derail the FIRE movement.
Or kill it completely.
Yeah, but actually the opposite, it's been true. With the Great Resignation, there's been a lot of people reprioritizing their lives, oftentimes in pretty significant ways. And the FIRE movement, like, it has found new converts, which we think is great. Because basically, you know, FIRE, it does have some flaws. But when you compare it to the folks who are living paycheck to paycheck, like you just mentioned, this is a far better alternative as opposed to, you know, barely skating by. And as Mr. Money Mustache, as he put it in that article, FIRE is all about, quote, prioritizing happiness, health, family and friends, hard work, connection with nature, and a certain amount of simplicity instead of just focusing on getting rich. Dude, we could not agree more. And I still credit Mr. Money Mustache with some of his early writings were pivotal in our lives. Like, there was a certain amount of kind of like counterculturalness to us anyway, specifically in how it came to how we consume things. But man, Mr. Money Mustache was just able to put into words what it is that we were feeling. He's not for everybody. I'll definitely say that. But if you're looking for somebody to just, I don't know, speak into your life and kind of shake up the routine, if you feel like you're on this track that you can't get off of, we would recommend checking out his writings, Mr. Yeah. Money Mustache.
And he has kind of an abrasive style. And
yes, that's why he's not for everybody.
Right. And so, yeah, some of the things that he writes are challenging. They're counterintuitive. And so, but I think you're right, Matt, for folks who go in with that mindset of like, I want my life to be shaken up. Maybe you have been in this position where you were living the paycheck to paycheck, even though your salary is good. And you're like, I know there's a better way. Well, somebody like Mr. Money Mustache can, like, I don't know, open your eyes really quickly and help you to shift your priorities in short order. But let's talk about another thing, Matt, another story we saw this week. Well, is that childcare costs have been rising rapidly. And anyone with kids knows that just life in general has gotten more expensive lately. Inflation at the grocery store, for one, has, you know, raised the costs of feeding your kids. Same with diapers, like diaper prices going up, but it's made childcare a good bit more expensive too. So it just kind of feels like if you've got kids, you're getting hit on every front financially. Yep. At the same time.
Yeah, that's true.
And the average cost of childcare has now hit five figures annually, exceeding $10,000 for the first time.
That's so crazy.
It's hard to believe, but that's
so for those people who are earning 100K, you know, six figures, 100K, like they're spending 10%, mm-hmm. You know, of that is going towards childcare.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
And so part of the problem is that we've got a real shortage of childcare workers in the U.S. these days. And as any economist will tell you, when the supply is low and the demand is high, prices are going to climb. And we are seeing that reality play out in front of our very eyes right now. And then just on another note, Matt, we're talking about babysitting. A new report from Urban Sitter reports on how much more babysitting is costing parents these days too. So just trying to get a night out has gotten more expensive at the same time. And you know, the average hourly rate for babysitters went up 11% nationally in the past year, outpacing inflation, which has been just under 8%. And so the national average is now more than $20 an hour to pay for babysitting. And so, yeah, if you work in the childcare sector, just know that you're in high demand, and that can and should have an impact on how you approach different gigs. Make sure that you're getting paid what you're worth. But as a parent, Matt, the flip side is tough to swallow.
Yeah, that's right. But it's still important as parents for us to figure out ways to get out with our partners without breaking the bank. And, you know, hiring a babysitter can cost just as much or even more than whatever you're planning to do that night. So you've got to be a little more judicious about when and how it is that you book a sitter. And some tips that we would recommend. First of all, you know, try date night swaps. This is something that, Joel, you and I do with you and Emily literally every Wednesday night. This week was y'all's week, so I went over to your house after y'all put the kids down. You went out, and I sat there, make sure they didn't burn the place down. Super easy. But that nets both families free babysitting every other week, because next week it'll be our week. But talk to a couple of friends and see if any of them are interested in doing something like that.
I'm sure many of them are like, yes, please, I would like to get out, and I would like to save money.
It's just about scheduling it, because I think that's the problem, right? Is oftentimes, like when I've told other friends about this, they're like, oh my gosh, that sounds great. But then when it comes to actually putting it into practice, they don't put it on the calendar. And, yep. So you literally have to prioritize it. And for us, that's been the fact that it's literally every week.
Set in stone.
And it just repeats every single week. Like, there's no question. We don't have to have a conversation about it. It just happens. And another thing that you can ask yourself is how much experience are you looking for in a babysitter? Because we've got a friend who's a teacher, and we like to have her when there's going to be times when all the kids are active and when they're awake. She is awesome with the kids. But oftentimes, we'll turn to like a teenager in the neighborhood when, you know, all the kids are down. There's not as much expertise needed, and that's definitely a way to save some additional money. Another thing too I'm thinking is just think back, you know, about 2 years ago when the pandemic hit, everything locked down. You couldn't go out to eat, right? Like, there were no longer date nights happening, and it took us a little bit to figure this out. But we realized, oh my gosh, Kate and I realized we weren't connecting. We weren't having that regular date night in our lives, and we had to intentionally start doing that at home. That's something that you can easily do at home now, even though you have the option to go out. Just like pour a nice, you know, for us, we're pulling out a really nice beer or a bottle of wine, but just connecting and talking about the things that matter is just an important way to still connect with your partner without having to go out and spend a ton of money.
Yeah. And I know it's tough to do sometimes after a long day and you finally got the kids to bed and not going to a completely different space and having someone else prepare that meal for you or whatever it is. But prioritizing that is important, even with the reality that everything costs more these days, including the price of the meal and the price of the babysitting.
That's right.
But we think you can get creative and still find a way to enjoy each other and enjoy awesome things. You know, kids should not prevent you from being able to do that. Matt, let's keep talking about jobs for a second. You know, babysitters obviously getting paid more. Anybody in the childcare profession, understandably getting paid more right now. I'm okay with it. But Target is an interesting company right now in the world of pay raises. And I feel like they've actually been at the forefront of providing wage increases to their employees. And they've been raising wages in a big way in recent years. And the starting minimum wage for Target employees is now going to range from $15 to $24 an hour, depending on location and position that you're being hired for. It's amazing to think that people can be getting paid upper teens or low $20 an hour at the very beginning as a Target employee. Mm-hmm. And I would say that's good news for folks seeking employment in an industry where people have traditionally been underpaid. And one of the benefits of what Target is doing is that it's not going to impact just Target employees, right? These pay raises have significant downstream effects. For instance, studies have shown that in cities where Amazon is paying a $15 an hour as a minimum wage, other employers have had to raise the wages they pay in order to compete for those workers. And so, for example, wages in leisure and hospitality jobs, they're up an average of 14% year over year. This rising tide is lifting wages for entry-level jobs across the board. So I love what Target is doing. I love the impact that it's having on jobs overall, because if you know that you can quit where you're working, where you can pay $12 an hour, and you can march down the street to Target and get paid at the very least $15 an hour, there's a good chance you're going to do that. And it forces these other employers to basically offer something similar if they want to retain any level of talent. If they want to retain anybody that's doing a good job, they're going to have to pay up in order to keep those talented folks.
That's right. A lot of the stories we are talking about today involve higher prices, higher wages. Not all prices are going up, man. I've got a quick one here for us. One of our splurges this year, it's been getting organic food a little more regularly. So this is how we have seen our grocery budget, you know, tick up from that $1 per person per meal formula. And as we've done that, it's added a decent chunk, you know, to our once incredibly low food budget. But it's something that we've deemed a priority at this point. Well, fortunately for us, as well as for anyone else out there trying to make a similar switch, the price gap between organic and non-organic items is getting smaller. The price difference, it used to be a lot wider at almost 23%. This is less than a year ago, and it has narrowed now to under 15% now. Some of the more price-conscious grocery stores like Walmart, Kroger, and of course Aldi, they have all prioritized getting more organics into the produce aisles, onto the shelves. That has had a major impact on how much organic items cost the end consumer like me. But even if you're like Joel, maybe you don't care, even still, it's not a bad idea to take another look at the price of organics on items that you typically like to buy, because they are more affordable than they used to be.
Okay, all right. Maybe I will take another look, but I guess I want to know from you, what led to your family making this switch? Because, yeah, you have kind of paid such close attention to your food budget over the years.
Well, man, food's always been like a priority in our house. And so we finally felt that it was time to spend maybe a little bit more on our money, if that meant that we had produce and other goods that didn't necessarily have, you know, or bathed in pesticides, because I want to make sure I take care of my long-term health and the health of my family, even though that means I don't, you know, maybe take them to the
I was going to say,
to see certain healthcare
eat organics, don't visit the dentist.
Dude, we're super crunchy. Like we are, you know, like back in the day, we'd have been the family who's like out in the woods somewhere, living off of the land, that kind of thing.
All right. Well, I appreciate your move to basically put your dollars where your priorities are. And buying organics makes sense. Unfortunately for you, it's become less expensive, at least relatively, than it was even just a year ago. And I think it is good for to see more organic items on the shelves, to see them proliferate. And it is leading, like you've just talked about, to lower costs for everyone that prioritizes that.
Yeah, man, organics are becoming a little more affordable, a little more attainable, I think, for a lot more folks. But that's going to be it, man, for this episode. We'll make sure to link to all of the different stories that we referenced during this episode up on our show notes at howtomoney.com. You can look forward to the interview that we've got lined up for you on Monday. We're going to talk about taxes. And, dude, that's going to be it. So until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.